You're listening to the Thomas Talks Podcast.
Welcome to Thomas Talks Podcast, where we talk about anything and everything school buses. I'm your host, Tom Zelke from Daimler Trucks North America, and joining me today is Kaylee Edgerly, President and CEO of Thomas Build Buses, and Mark Childers, Powertrain and Technology Sales Manager at Thomas Build Buses. On today's podcast, we're talking about the future of electric school buses. We'll talk about new EV technologies on the horizon, extended range and battery power, and maybe even some changes to the cost of EV school buses in the future. Let's get started. What's happening with electric school bus technology is amazing. It seems like a couple of years ago, EV technology was an idea, and now electric school buses are on the road. Can you talk about why we've seen such dramatic shift in this new technology in such a short time?
Sure, I'll try tackling that one first, Tom. Thanks for having us today. It was actually 4 years ago, almost five, that we built our first EV prototype because we thought technology could evolve and we could take it to mass production. And we've seen technology improve, volume improve. More and more people in industry are investing, and it's really becoming viable. The thing about the school buses, it's a darling duty cycle for it as well. And it's darling because of the stop-start nature, the shorter ranges compared to maybe some other commercial vehicles. And I think the most darling thing is you're transporting children in an emissions-free vehicle and doing something really socially responsible. It's even, you know, in my career over the last 3 or 4 years, it's something new and fun with a really special purpose. So I am emotionally attached to it, not just technically attached to it. And I think others are too.
Yeah, Kaylee, I absolutely agree with that in terms of the attractiveness of the school bus in the EV market. All of those reasons really draw people into our industry. And why the EV is such an attractive component for schools, districts today, and especially even some of our, you know, industries that are outside of our normal industry, like the utility providers and some other service providers, they find it very attractive for the same reasons that Kaylee shared there, is that it is the darling, it is a very worthy endeavor to electrify a school bus for our students and our kids that we transport every day.
You know, what I find truly amazing is that most often new technologies that we see in the school bus industry first start in the automotive and commercial trucking industry and trickle down to school buses. But with electric vehicles technology for medium and heavy duty vehicles, school buses seem to be leading the innovation. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it feels weird to be out front. But I think it's accurate. I think maybe our manager of powertrains and technology should take a swag at that one, though.
Sure. Thanks, Kaylee. I'll take a run at that one, and we'll talk about that. So, as you said earlier, in terms of just our adoption and why the EV market is leading, the EVs are leading in the school bus, is really around those areas that you mentioned earlier, and that is that we are a very predictable route duty cycle for the electric school bus. We, you know, our customers, they dispatch their buses in the morning, they travel a fixed amount during the day, they know how far they're going to go on that particular route, they come back to the bus yard, and, you know, they leave back in the afternoon. So that's a really predictable scenario for the EV to kind of engage in. And, you know, I think the other piece of this is that, you know, we have the opportunity to take the electric school bus and use it in a way that, as Kaylee said earlier, it just really benefits our community. And so I think that, again, is part of that older attractiveness we talked about earlier. And that's why people we're moving faster than maybe the commercial, because there's a fixed finite area in which we operate our electric school buses, whereas maybe in the other industries, commercial, it might be a little more unpredictable, and a little bit more challenging to to find that type of optimal route.
I'm glad you hit on the community aspect there, Mark, because I think that's vitally important. It's socially responsible, zero emissions, transporting kids, and it stays in my community. So when I see whatever bus number going by, and I know that that's an electric bus, I know that that's in my community, I know that that's something doing something special, and I know that child on there has got a great future and going to be educated, but doing it in such a cleaner way. I'm from a small town. It really resonates for me that electric school bus is a member of the community for the next 10, 15, 20 years.
So where are we at today with electric school bus, the technology part of it? Let's talk about range, safety, reliability. What should districts expect?
I think we got to go back to the guy with technology and his title to answer that one.
Yeah, thanks, Kaylee, and I'll tackle that one. So you talked about range first there, Tom, and let's kind of dive into range. Often that is the very first question that comes up in any kind of conversation with our customers around our product, and they always want to know how far range can we go. So when we launched our product program, we knew that we had to be able to answer this question. And with range, we wanted to look at the market and look at the average school bus routes to make sure that what we were going to bring to the market is going to achieve and excel beyond kind of what our customers expected for range. So with our product, we looked at the range. We have a Proterra system in our product that's 226 kilowatts of kilowatt battery total capacity. And that range, based on our efficiency of our product, gets us to right around that 134 miles of usable capacity on the vehicle. Now, there are other, you know, kind of factors that kind of come into play around, you know, what type of AC we're operating on the bus and some other inputs that can impact that, like drivers, how they drive the vehicle, terrain, the use of regenerative braking. Things like that can impact that overall range. But when we look at that, that's the numbers that we see that we can deliver with our 220 kilowatts on our product, which is in our industry today. We, as far as a standard kilowatt battery pack, we have the largest in the standard as far as the school bus market right now.
From a reliability standpoint, I'm proud of our test fleet. We've got multiple vehicles accumulating tens of thousands of miles, and we're learning about how the electric components behave over an extended period of time, and they're behaving quite well. We break things, we intend to break things, but we're investing heavily in our reliability growth fleet just so that we're confident we're handing our customers a reliable product. So I'm proud of our investment, and it predicts a pretty reliable and proud product that we will be standing behind. From a safety standpoint, Mark, what are your thoughts?
So, Kay, let me tackle the question around safety of our Julie product with what we have today. And safety, number one, is paramount to Thomas Built buses as well as Daimler trucks. And we have a fleet of vehicles that we're putting through numerous types of safety protocols to understand and to make sure that the product we deliver to our customers is safe for the purpose, the main purpose of this vehicle, which is to transport students every day to school and home. And that has not been, we have not wavered on that at all in this project to bring the electric school bus to the marketplace. And our Julie product goes through countless types of testing, both from a virtual testing to a on-road testing. Our team is daily looking at the vehicle and its performance. We're going through numerous types of tests. You know, as you said earlier, we sometimes might break things to figure out what would happen in the vehicle. We actually, in some cases, introduce fault codes into the vehicle to say, what's the vehicle going to do?
That's functional safety aspect that we've learned about the last couple of years of introducing those faults.
Right. We've introduced those faults. And part of that is because we want to make sure that we fully understand how this vehicle is going to behave if something were to be introduced that might cause this vehicle to behave in a way we would not expect it. The other piece of that, too, is that we've engaged a third party to help us go through this whole safety protocol, functional safety review. And we have a third party that is looking at not only the results of our testing, but they're really looking at the overall test plan that we've put together. And they're speaking into that test plan on our efforts, and they're giving us good counsel around areas of that test plan that we might need to dig deeper. And also the more important piece, I think one of the important pieces is documentation of that testing. So they are really pushing us and challenging us in our test plans to document what we do, how we do that, and what are those results. And then we take those and take those learnings to kind of improve the product to ensure that it's safe.
Yeah, I'm confident of the safety too, Mark, just from new methods that we've used that we didn't use on traditional vehicles. That's some of that functional safety and inducing failures. Then there's still a few physical things that I feel good about too from a safety aspect. We didn't have to, but you know of the how we T-boned the side of that one test bus and tried to crack the battery pack by hitting it from the side. It wasn't a federally mandated test, but we did it anyway, and the battery cells did what they're supposed to. The packs, I should say, did what they're supposed to. They captured themselves, and part of that's because everything's between the frame rails, and part of that is because the bus is still a school bus and it's tough as heck. So I feel good about the safety.
Yeah, and your comment there, Kaylee, around the impact test on the battery prompts me for another safety feature that we've added to our product, and that is we introduced a feature, I don't know, probably say 6 years ago, called our star seating system that really was really designed around helping our customers who have to reconfigure school buses from time to time. And it really was designed to kind of help them. Well, we began to look at our electric school bus and we quickly realized that one of the safety areas that we wanted to address was eliminating as much interaction a technician might have underneath a vehicle in high voltage cable areas and things like that. And it came apparent to us that our star seating system, if we installed this or made it standard on our school bus, it would not require a technician to have to be underneath the school bus where all that high voltage cables, those technical components are. And we could eliminate that on probably one of the more frequent repairs that a school district makes, and that's seats. So today, our star seating is standard. You know, technicians don't have to go underneath the bus. They can take those seats out today. And it's just another great example of just thinking safety on our product and how do we make our technicians, our customers' technicians, safe to work on our vehicles.
To be clear, there's no need for a dude to be underneath the bus holding on an end wrench to pull a bolt out from the top of the bus with a star system, right?
That's right. They can take it right out the back of the bus with a few, with a ratchet and inside the vehicle themselves. So,
gotcha. Good point, Mark. Thanks.
You know, Mark, a few years ago, I heard concerns about electric bus reliability in more adverse conditions, such as, you know, rugged terrain, extreme cold weather, and even extended routes. Has the technology advanced enough for electric school buses to be the right fit in these conditions?
I don't want a sales guy answering that question. And he works within the sales organization, even though he's very technical. So I'm going to cut you off, Mark, because I think that question is a tough one, Tom. And the natural inclination is, yeah, it'll handle it. And it will. But I think there's first use cases to deploy in first, right? Let's take the whole market. The whole market of big buses, let's say, is 33,000. We're not trying to make 33,000 electric buses this year as an industry, all school bus manufacturers. We are getting into the game. And if you have a rugged, cold climate, our bus will operate, but it it may not operate as well as it would be on a flat plains 70 degrees all the time. It's just the way it is. It will advance. If a district in a rugged terrain, cold weather, our bus will operate, but it's not going to go as far as it would in another environment. It's the truth. If you have funds and you can find a way to invest in those rugged environments, then do so and let us be truthful with what the vehicle can perform at, because it will have limitations. They're not going to be gross limitations, but not as well as it would in another environment. So let's just be honest, technology is evolving, and in those environments it's not going to perform as well. It will perform, but not as well as pristine conditions. And as time goes on, technology will evolve, and we'll build more ability to handle those rugged conditions on the same playing field. But we're not there yet. The cell phone I had 15 years ago wasn't even a cell phone. It doesn't do what my cell phone does today. So technology will evolve. But let's not try kidding customers and say, hey, everything's going to be great in any environment. There's going to be losses. Let's be honest about that. But it can still operate.
And Kayla, I think that's absolutely true in terms of kind of our leadership in terms of transparency with our customers, that we really want to be transparent with them when we begin these conversations around their questions like, will it operate in their very rugged environment? And let them know that, you know, in some cases, you know, we don't know. We're learning this together as a technology. And, you know, we really want to partner with them to understand how their operations are, and especially when these environments that are they're rugged, cold, or even hot. You know, even you think about some of the hot environments that are out there too. All of that's going to impact this new technology. And as we see customers embrace this, we partner with them to understand this. We're going to learn, and we're going to take those learnings and bring those back to look at how we, you know, maybe adapt our product to those particular environments for our customers.
Just as an example, Mark, we know that bus that we deployed in Alaska, our customers are, it's cold, it's really cold, it's in the middle of Alaska. We know they love that bus, but we're also upfront that it's not going to have the same range and the same performance as the one that we just deployed in Arkansas. But we're upfront and honest, but they still love that bus, as they should, and they found a way to be able to purchase it. And they're learning and just as excited as we are. We're just transparent and real with the capabilities.
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate your time today. This will conclude our podcast. And thank you so much for being here today. And we look forward to the next Thomas Talks podcast. Thank you.